We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
How about them fucking dogs? That's what I told them.
Hope it doesn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 100 Sanford Podcast. It is your host, one of your hosts, Lamar Lovelace. I am in the building today with George Foster. I am here with Trigger Trey. I think Graham Coffee is caught in traffic, but fellas, what's going on?
Like I say every week, we alive. And we undefeated.
Undefeated.
So, I can navigate the rest of this world. I'm alive. I'm alive, and the dogs are undefeated. So right. I'm good to go, man. Had to treat Vanderbilt a little nasty last week. So it's all good.
Yeah, man, that was a good victory. Good weekend for the dogs. Good weekend for college football, man. I don't know about y'all. I mean, I watched for the first time in a long time. I watched a lot of games. I had my son who was sick. Excuse me. As you can hear, I'm coming down with his stuff now. I've been out of work for like the last 3 days, just trying to get back. But watched that Michigan game, that Michigan-Penn State game we talked about. Obviously, the Tennessee-Alabama game. So it was a lot of good football, man. There's a lot of good stuff to kind of tap into. But, of course, our dogs watched that domination. And, you know, like you mentioned, homecoming, it's somebody that we could beat up on. We beat up on them pretty good and kind of got things rolling again. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. I've been seeing some pictures and videos and stuff from homecoming. Looked like it was a pretty all right time down
there. You didn't get a chance to go down there?
I didn't get a chance to go down there. My daughter had a ring ceremony for cheer. You know, they won every meet last year, so
nice.
So they got some rings and some jewelry. So I had to go to that. So this thing was like way up in the mountains somewhere, man. It's called Fairmount, Georgia. I had never been there in my life. I never heard of it. So it was hard to get a signal out there to, you know, peep the game, Tennessee Bama on the phone, you know, so every now and again then it'll pick up. And so, you know, this is the state of Georgia. So you're going to have you're going to have either some Tennessee fans, some Georgia fans, some Bama fans. And we had this cheer thing, and everybody was definitely in tuned in to their phones and devices and stuff. Parents, even some of the cheerleaders, you know, some people were excited that Bama lost, some people not so much. So it was a good weekend for football, depending on who you root for.
Facts. Trey, what was you doing this weekend, man, besides hitting the streets? You know how you do.
Work and watch the game.
Yeah, man. Everybody was texting back and forth. Like G said, he was out of pocket. But it was one of those things, man, where, well, first of all, kudos to me and G. You were on board, and then you kind of flaked out. You got scared. But we called that tennis. No, me and you were on board. Got scared. He got scared of calling that victory for Tennessee.
Tennessee can prove me wrong. I appreciate that.
I didn't think it would come down to a last minute kick, but I figured they would win. I honestly thought that they could do it by a little bit more than three.
No, I'm telling you.
It's a few hurting secondaries in that game right there.
I'm telling you.
Nobody can stop anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I kind of like that, though.
You like it for UGA, or you like it just for the scoring?
For UGA. Some dogs, you know, we got a good look at, you know, both teams. You know what I mean? If we handle our business how we should, we already going to see Tennessee, possibility of seeing Bama. So, you know what I'm saying? It was a nice little preview to see those teams. You know what I mean? High-powered offense, low-powered defense.
Yeah, man. Ain't no doubt about it. I mean, I kind of figured, just by looking at Tennessee and looking at their offense, that they were actually going to be able to go up and down the field on Bama. I just felt that way. I felt if we're able to do so, why wouldn't they be able to do so with Heupel, you know, be able to move that offense, and they were able to do so. So that's why I picked Tennessee to win that game going in. I didn't have any doubt, quite honestly, no doubt in my mind that they were going to beat Alabama with Bryce Young without.
I tell you what, though. I underestimated Bryce Young. I thought missing a game that, to me, from the outside looking in, was an important game, Texas A&M, you know. Texas A&M, can it be a little fraudulent? You know what I mean? Maybe Nick figured they were fraudulent, and so he just held Bryce out. But to me, I was like, man, if he missed the big, I'd say that with quotes, Texas A&M game, ain't no way he's 100% for Bama. Shoot, he was slinging that thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I thought his arm and his shoulder was really messed up. Even when they said that he was going to be a game time decision, I figured, okay, because me and Trey were talking about it. I said, you know what? Because I think Trey was on prize picks, and I said Gibbs was going to have a lot of yards rushing, even though he did.
Right?
I
think he went over a bill. You got me paid, bro.
Yeah, he went over a bill. So, but I didn't think that Bryce would be out there slinging the rock like that. But Graham Coffey has joined the building. Graham, I mean, we were just sitting there chopping it up, man, talking about the weekend, talking about a great weekend of college football, talking about the Dogs, and then talking about Tennessee, Alabama.
Man, big,
I can't wait to hear those. Who's the close pick? We didn't get into that online. Who was close to the score? Somebody picked 50 some points. Was it Graham? For Georgia Vandy.
No. Wait a minute. It might have been Graham. But Graham got off early. Graham kind of shot back. Graham kind of shot back and said, I think he said 50. No, I said 50-something points. I said 55-13. I said 55-13.
Oh, you did.
55-13.
It was almost there. I said 42-3. So I was off.
I said 56-13.
There you go.
You did? Y'all pretty good. You know, I'm as confident I am in the Dogs. I haven't picked them to score 50 yet. It's just hard to score 50 points, man. Y'all throw it out there like it's nothing.
I mean, Carson Beck came in there and, you know, he was ready to go. Hey, he was slinging.
Hey, I like how he looks. I can't lie.
He looks good.
I can't lie. He looks like a quarterback.
It looks like he's been developed over the last couple of years, which he needed to be, you know?
Prototype.
Yeah.
Prototype.
That, like, Saturday was, you know, I walked out of the Oregon game with about, I don't know, 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter to beat the traffic in Atlanta. So Saturday was the first time I've really, like, sat down and watched him throw in person, you know? And, I was watching him back in that pocket, and his head was just like, he gets through his reads quickly. And like that touchdown pass to Bell, that was a third read. You know, I mean, like he was moving through his progressions, which is what you want to see with a backup quarterback, right? Like Georgia's backups are so much more talented than Vanderbilt's backups that he could probably stare down the number one dude for 4 seconds and wait for that guy to come open and kind of force some stuff and make things happen. But like, he's running those plays the way that you would want him to run those plays. Like he looked good. And I thought just being there, I was impressed with how the offensive line played early. Like after halftime, it felt like the whole team kind of had a little bit of a hard time getting up, you know, which it's 28-0. I get it. It's not something I'm particularly worried about, but I was impressed with the offensive line, and I was really impressed with Stetson, man. 18-20 for over 200 and two touchdowns in the first half. Like that throw to Dom that he had on the out route on third and goal for the touchdown.
Really nice.
Was nice. And I mean, man, Dom is the other, like that wide receiver room. I'm starting to wonder a little bit if like they are kind of saving some of these guys for more competitive games in November. Like Blaylock only ran – yeah, he ran four routes all day, and he had that slot fade for like 30 yards, and then he had the touchdown. And, you know, it was like, we got his work in, he's done kind of thing. Arian Smith is moving well. Like, I think they know what they have, and they've kind of used this time to let these guys like Dylan Bell come along and some of these younger guys really get into the flow. But, you know, when it's third and long is when you really, you know, like in this game, like against Vanderbilt and some of these other teams they've played early in the year, like third and long is kind of the little window you get into what this offense really is. And you see some of those kind of, I don't know, less vanilla play calls, I guess is what I'll call them. And it's impressive. And, you know, I mean, even Roseme, man, I was kind of hard on him after the Missouri game because I felt like he struggled in that game to, you know, win in contested catch situations and beat man coverage. But he's become the guy on third down over the middle. You know, he's done a really – like he and Stetson have a good rapport on where to sit down in that zone. And I just think this offense, like, I mean, they're putting up 500 yards every week, and it doesn't even look like they're really trying.
It don't seem like it, does it?
I know.
Like, you end up, the game was over, and you look at the box score, you're like, what?
579 to 150 in yards.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, you know, Vanderbilt put up 28 on Ole Miss the week before. I mean, they were leading that game in halftime, and, like, I mean, Georgia's defense and Ole Miss's defense aren't the same thing, but Ole Miss doesn't have a bad defense. Like, you know, I guess point being, like, I think, you know, we kind of went through that bumpy stretch with Missouri in the first half against Auburn, but looking at it in hindsight now, I do kind of feel like that was a really great opportunity for Georgia to kind of learn some lessons and fix some things without – having to suffer the consequences of a loss. But I'm sorry, what were you saying, Lamar?
No, I mean, I was going to bring up, excuse me, guys, because I know my voice is kind of messed up from being sick, but that's something I was going to bring up during this show, because it is a bye week, right? So we don't have a game coming up this week, but we can talk about a bunch of different things. But what's interesting to me is that you mentioned how many points and how many yards are putting up, and it doesn't look like it. And that was something I was going to bring up in terms of, hopefully we have one of our guests on tonight, if that hurts us, because the optics, if you're a recruit and you're watching the game, I'm watching it, my son's watching it, everybody's watching it, it doesn't look like this team is a high powered offense. It just doesn't. Sure. Right. And they're putting up points and they're moving the ball up and down the field. They're using wide receivers, tight ends, running backs. I mean, everybody's touching the ball. You wonder how much, in terms of the optics, does it look like a high-powered offense? It just doesn't. I don't know. It's just weird to me.
Everybody eats, B. Everybody
eats, I mean, B. Like, there was, you know, that drive. It was Stetson's last drive of the game in the third quarter on Saturday. And, you know, they came out and they got into second and five, you know, on the second play of the drive. And they went and lined up Darnell out wide at the X position. And, like, he runs, you know, he runs 7 yards, turns around, puts his hands up, the ball is there. It's undefendable in man coverage. Like, you're not defending that, especially when you're spread out. Like, no corner's getting around him to break that up, especially if the ball's up here around his face mask. And, you know, it's just kind of this, like, thought of, like, shit, they could do this whenever they want, you know, but they don't. And I think, like, That's kind of what I wanted to say about the Tennessee game, really, is, like, you know, it feels like we learned last year about Todd Monken. Like, he's not ever going to, like, show you a card in his hand until he has to. And it's like they do these things in games sometimes where it's like, okay, let's prove to ourselves we can do this. And then we're going to, you know, we're going to put a little sticky note tab on that and we'll come back to it when we need a drive in a competitive game. And I feel like that's sort of where it is right now. You know, the wide receiver rotations are interesting, and I am very curious to see, like, who are the dudes that are going to play 30, 40 snaps at wide receiver when, you know, when we get to Tennessee and, you know, in the first half against Florida, because I think that'll tell us a little more about what the pecking order really is. But, Yeah, I mean, like, they haven't really thrown downfield that much, but they haven't had to. You know, it's like no one's taken away this stuff over the middle and these screens and these swing passes to McIntosh enough for them to say, okay, like, we need to go bomb it down the sidelines. I mean, they did have, I thought, more air yards for Stetson, like, under his throws on Saturday than we've seen in a while. Like, he was making – like, Saturday was the first time in his career at Georgia that he's had more attempts outside the numbers than inside the numbers. And he did that while, you know, going 18 to 20 to start the game. So that tells me, like, that they can play that way if they want to. You know, they can play outside the hashes and create space with those outside receivers. I think that's comforting.
Yeah, he surprises me. He can I never would have thought of him as a guy that could hit those outs like that. You know, his arm is surprising. You know, he continues to surprise me with his arm. He could snap off some throws that I didn't necessarily think he probably could have done a year ago. You know, I don't know if I was underestimating him a year ago or if he got better with his strength, mechanics, and efficiency in his movements or whatever. So I don't know, but I like what I'm seeing.
It was probably a little bit of both last year. You know, when you look at Stetson coming in last year, it was more of a thing of, okay, he's the guy just kind of driving this ship, right? That's an unstoppable, unmovable force, which was that team last year. But, I mean, he's proven it, right? He's proven it coming in this year that he can make all those throws, all those big-time throws. And these guys trust him. Kirby trusts him. Munkin trusts him. And, you know, one thing about Kirby, and we have learned that, and I think fans should know this as well, he's going to play the guy that's going to get him the victory. So it's not one of those love affairs of hey, I love this guy, or I got to play this guy. If Beck was the guy for this year, for this team, he'd be the quarterback. That's it. You know, and that's the way Kirby's going to roll. So Stetson is able to make all those throws, and I agree with you guys. I think he just surprised a lot of people just coming in because we just overlooked it. But, yeah, Graham, and that's him making all those throws all over the field. I mean, that's special of what he's doing, and hopefully it carries on. I mean, we got 2 weeks for the next game. Obviously, we got the big one coming up against Florida, but it's time to get healthy, too. I think that, you know, being able to play Vanderbilt this past game and maybe sitting some of our guys going, you know, midway through the third quarter, being able to rest them up this week, a bye week, kind of going through some walkthroughs and some of the practices, things like that, can get some of these guys back in the fold. But we talked about it last week. What's really missing out of this offense, if anything, are those downfield threats. And Grant, I know you were down on the field, you were watching some guys warm up and so forth, but we're missing AD, we're missing Arian Smith, we're missing those burners, because once you get those burners in the secondary, it's a wrap, because you could throw underneath and, you know, those intermediate throws to Brock and the Big O all day long and just pick people apart. I think we get those guys back, it's a wrap.
Well, and I think they're saving them. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think even with Arian, like, you know, you could run him on a little drag route, and he's got the speed that if you've got the defense leaning the wrong way with some play action or some motion or misdirection or something, like, he can turn a drag route into a 70-yard touchdown like that. But, you know, Saturday was the most snaps he's ever played in a game in his career at Georgia. Like, he was on the field for 14 snaps. Yeah, and he ran 10 routes, and he was only the primary target from my eyes twice. There was one little like flat route they tried to throw to him that the defender batted down, like the defensive lineman. And then they ran a deep post with him on that last drive of the third quarter, like the last drive the first team was in. And dude, he was wide. Like, he burnt the corner, he burnt the safety, and the offensive line just didn't protect well enough. And like, you could see Bennett looking downfield at him. I went back and watched the tape of it, like he's ready to throw it to him, but he just doesn't get enough protection to let like that pass go. But it was, I mean, like, they had, like, the other thing that surprised me too was just, I think a lot of people have always thought of Arian as like a go route guy, and maybe he runs a slant here or there, but like, they had him running circle routes on the wide side of the field where like he was creating separation on a lot of different routes, and definitely has a more well-developed route tree than I thought. Like, this was the first time I've looked at him and thought to myself, like, this is a football player with track speed instead of this is a track guy who's moonlighting at wide receiver. I think the work that he's done over the last, you know, year or two has, like, they've really developed him in an impressive way. We just haven't gotten to see it because he hasn't been healthy, but I think he looks healthy and he's going to be healthy for November.
Yeah, it's a good, dang good thing. Dang good thing. But fellas, let me go back to something first before we even go any further. The 100 Stanford podcast is powered up by the Roll Up Network and our sponsor, Gramco. That's right, the Delta 8 company based out of Florida, founded by college football junkies just like you and me. They got everything you need. They got the gummies. They got the vapes. They got the roll-ups. They got all new products coming out. Check them out on their website, thegramco.com. That's right, thegramco.com. And use the promo code 100Sanford for a 25% off all your orders. That's right. That's 100Sanford for 25% off your orders. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. And as we always say, make sure you're using things responsibly and make sure that if you're going to get any tests, that you are using your products responsibly. And that is it on that. So, fellas, let's get back to it. We got the bye week coming up, right? What are you looking for in this bye week? What's the main theme for Georgia during this bye week?
Health.
Get healthy.
Get healthy. Get that depth back. Get some starters back. I think it's a huge opportunity for us to fine-tune some things. I think they're going to figure out some wrinkles probably to throw at some people that's not on tape. So I think I'm excited. I'm excited about the bye week, man. It's just I just know what it means. I know that coaching staff is going to make great use of it, and I feel like we're going to come out firing on all cylinders versus Florida, which, you know, hey, I'm all for that. I want to pound those guys. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. Get some guys back. You know what I mean? Not too early if it's not ready, because we got a main goal in sight. But those who can get back, I want to get back.
What about you, Graham?
I mean, I agree with George. I think health is the biggest thing. You know, we've put some injury report stuff on Dog Central over the last 24 hours, but like, I think that I think the Florida game is going to be the most complete Georgia team we've seen, you know, really all year. And, you know, I think they're going to get more and more complete as the month of November goes on, provided we don't have any new injuries, knock on wood. But, like, I think there's a chance that against Florida, I think there's a very good chance against Florida you have Mondin back at linebacker. You have Tresman Marshall back at linebacker. You have Kendall back in the backfield. You've got Jalen Carter up front. Like, I think there's a very good chance that you have almost all, if not all, of those guys ready to contribute in some way. And I think that's a good thing because, you know, I mean, George would know better than I would, but I think a lot of times with a lot of these guys, like, they kind of need a week to get back in the flow, and I think you want those guys ready when Tennessee comes to town, you know, first weekend of November, and getting them on the field against Florida, whether it's for 5 snaps or 50 snaps, is gonna, I think, give Georgia their most complete team for that game against Tennessee.
You know, that's real scary. You were just, you know, naming 4 to 5 guys. I haven't even realized, because, you know, you're into the game. You're week to week. Once the balls start flying around, I mean, you're not even paying attention to who's on the field. You just want to win, right? I haven't even realized that all those guys haven't been playing. Carter hasn't been in. Marshall hasn't been in. Smile Munden hasn't been in. I mean, the wide receivers haven't been playing. That's crazy, man. Where you have that on some other teams, they completely fall apart. No, I mean, question. there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Like, they're doing an exemplary job of playing with the guys that they have. You know what I mean? I didn't like, including, you know, starters and backups. You know, everyone seems ready. You know what I mean? They're just a ready team, and the defense so far, with all those new faces, they're still only giving up 9 points a game. Still only giving up 9 points a game. The defense last, and the season's not over, but the defense last year finished at 10.2. You know what I mean? They're on track. They're on track to be statistically, you know, scoring-wise, as good as last year's defense. And then there's just a testament to coaching and the guys that and the young guys that listen. Facts. You know what I mean? And they're only gonna get better. Like, this team is ascending. You have the number one team in the country. You have a team that's scoring 40-some points a game, only giving up 9, and they haven't even scratched the surface yet because of all the injuries they've had and all the youth they have on that team. So, you know, the teams better watch out, man. It's not they haven't even gotten close to what they could be.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, going back to what you guys said, yeah, you know, health is the main thing, and getting back healthy for this upcoming in 2 weeks with Florida. And I really want to see that, because I want to see a full complement of players, because I think it's going to be needed. You know, you got to get back into the flow of things, especially going down the stretch. You got the Florida game, then you got Tennessee, then you got Mississippi State, then you got Kentucky. You got four bangers of a game, and you know, and Florida may not be the team that Florida could be, or people think that they may be in the future.
But they always have athletes.
But they always got athletes, and they, you know, they're on scholarship too, like George always says, you know. And they got four stars and five stars.
You know what else just came to mind too, that I'm happy about the bye week, is he's probably just a tough dude, and it hasn't really cost him yet so far. But I think Stetson could use the rest. You know what I mean? Yeah. We've thrown the ball, you know, a pretty good bit. You know what I mean? That lead going into the, you know, the game that like Bryce missed, like we had thrown the ball a good bit more than Bama, and Bama slings it. You know, he's been working that arm, you know, a good bit. So I think giving Stetson some rest is going to be great too. I'm excited to see how he comes back, because I think he's going to have a little bit more zip on the ball, you know, once he gets that shoulder rested.
Yeah, I mean, you just brought up that shoulder impediment is what they're calling it, that's been bothering him. But I mean, that was the thing that I noticed, and he actually talked about it in post game. You know, someone else asked him, like, what did you think kind of made the difference in the quick start today? And he was like, I warmed up really well, and I kept my arm warm really well between drives. And it almost felt to me like it was implying that he didn't do that the week before in the first half against Auburn, you know, because he did not look like himself in the first half of that game. Yeah, so, I mean, I think, it's a good sign to see he's learning how to take care of his body if he does have an issue. But, B, I think that arm bothered him more than we've probably known, especially in that Auburn game. And it's good to hear that, you know, they're kind of figuring it out. But given, you know, I mean, like I heard Kirby say yesterday that, you know, they were giving Ladd, like, basically the back half of this week off, you know, and they, because he's had this toe injury since basically the entire year, you know, and they're giving him some medicine and letting him, you know, basically just take a few days off and not put stress on that. And like, that's great. You know, they haven't been able to do that because you need him ready every week. And so I think there's guys that have been performing well for Georgia that have been a little bit more, you know, bothered by injuries than we've probably known, and giving them time to heal up is a big deal.
Hey, George, I just came to mind. Did they have bye weeks back in the 60s when you played?
You know, we only had seven games back when I played in the 60s.
You know, but you walked uphill in the snow both ways to school, right?
Both ways. You know, I had my helmet in my pocket. And that's how we rocked back then.
No, but real talk. Like, what is going on for this 2-week period? I mean, you know, in the NFL, it's a completely different animal, you know, in terms of bye weeks. Guys really do get truly a few days off to be on their own.
But
on the college aspect, what are the players doing during this 2-week bye that could actually really truly be helpful, especially when you're going into a game against Florida, you know, one of your bigger rivals? We've seen it over the years where both teams come in locked in. I mean, what's going on and what's in the mindset of these players?
You have a chance to, like we've talked about, get healthy. You have a chance to, like I said earlier, add some wrinkles to some things, you know, because you don't have to worry about cramming. You know, I'm not sure what the methods that this staff uses, but I don't think you have to worry about cramming for a team in 1 week. Mm-hmm. You know, you can spread it out. You know, you can probably get some. I'm pretty sure they'll be looking at Tennessee as well. You know, probably on the back end, or it could be on the front end. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you start looking at those guys too. You know, or at least some of the GAs. You know, start looking at those guys and getting ready for Tennessee. But as far as Florida goes, you know, I guarantee you Florida's going to see some different stuff than what they've seen on tape from Georgia, just because, you know, that'd be the smart thing to do, add some wrinkles. But other than that, like I said, add wrinkles, get healthy. They still going to have class and stuff, so it's a little bit different from, you know, pro ball. You know, you can take a little mini vacation if mm-hmm. you want to in pro ball. You know, I've done that before. But in college, you know, those guys they're gonna get after it. They're gonna get, you know, they're gonna be smart about it. You know, get guys healthy, get some young guys some work. You know, I'd imagine that would be, you know, imperative. You know, get some young guys some work that you're probably gonna need this last part of the season. And so that's how it's gonna go.
That's hey Graham, did Kirby allude to anything when you were there in Athens?
With the bye week?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that they do so they'll do some self-scouting and assess themselves. Like, he made a really interesting comment on Tuesday, which I wasn't there for, but that basically they've never encountered as many teams trying to run quick game against them as they have this season. And so, you know, that's a big reason why you're not seeing sacks, but that, you know, basically the average time to throw in games against Georgia this year has been 2.6 seconds by opposing offenses. And the only game where it was over 3 seconds from snap to throw for a quarterback was the Auburn game with Ashford in.
Right.
And, you know, basically talking about how, like, we're schooling our guys, you know, like, if they're going to throw it that quick, then it's about, you know, bull rushing a guy to get back into his lap or getting your hands up, doing something to affect the throws. But, you know, that was kind of alluding – like, that's kind of one example of how they're self-scouting, right? And they're doing that with every unit on the team, and they're looking at special teams. But he did say that all of their – you know, they do a bunch of, like, film prep and scouting of their opposition in the summertime. But this week – the staff splits up into groups and they take every opponent that's left on the schedule and they watch all the tape for those teams so far through the season to see, you know, new wrinkles, new personnel. And then those groups present to the rest of the staff on, you know, what's going on with the future opponents. So they'll definitely have time, you know. I mean, he said that I think like yesterday through today and Thursday, they're practicing like for teams that are not Florida, essentially. Like they're, you know, they're practicing against things that are coming up on the schedule. And then after Thursday, these guys get, like, you know, they get 48 hours off. They get to go home if they want to, which is a big thing in the middle of the season for them to kind of recharge. And then when they come back, it'll be a normal game week to get ready for Florida starting on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, usually don't worry about it. When you take out the trash, you don't usually worry about it. So, you know, you'll take out the trash against Florida and then move on. You know, that's I guess that's the way Kirby's looking at it. But, you know, I think it's going to be a big week, though, for certain guys, too, because I'm interested to see, coming back off the bye, what Ringo looks like. Something that, you know, there's some things that excited me about his play and some things that concerned me at the same time. Ringo gets beat a lot. For a guy that has a lot of speed, he gets beat a lot. But we saw him actually, what we talked about last week, right? Get your head turned around, go after the ball. And he did it. I mean, he did it.
He could have had two picks, maybe three.
Yeah, man. It was
good to see the dude playing the ball, at least, you know. Like,
it's just going to be interesting, you know.
You have to get it into your head that, you know, you don't never want to be in no man's land. You want to make a play, and right. you can't make a play unless you try to make a play. I'm aching it to a lineman using his hands. Like, you see a lot of linemen catch rushers, and they're catching rushers because they're scared to get their hands knocked down. They're scared to miss with their hands. And once you get over that fear of missing with your hands, you'll deliver some good blows with those hands. Same thing with, you know, tracking the ball as a DB. You got to get your head around and get your hands up. You know, don't be scared. Don't be scared to go for the play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I think he's starting to do that. And as outsider, we tend to forget how hard football is. it's not easy. And a lot of these guys are, you know, they're 17, 18, 19, you know, maybe 20 years old. And, you know, like, they're playing a difficult sport at some of them at a difficult position, you know, like the next level could be like next year for a lot of these guys, the right. pinnacle. Like, you go from where you're on the doorstep of the pinnacle of the sport. It doesn't get any more difficult. You know what I mean? So some of these guys, you know, they're still learning. They're still developing. You know what I mean? It'll happen eventually for a lot of the guys. Sometimes it just takes, you know, sometimes it's slower than others. You know, some people are more natural. You know what I mean? They come out, you have a Starks. You know what I mean? Who makes plays from day one. Right. You know, that's rare. You know, we look at it and we cheer and we watch him like, oh man, that boy good. That boy is rare. That's what he is. That's not everyone. You know what I mean? Everyone else has to develop. You know what I mean? And they might get to that. You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen right away for some people. It might take 4 years for some guys until they finally get it.
I'm going to tell you what really changed all this thinking. I mean, I guess some people have always had that thinking, but Madden and playing NCAA has caused people to think that the game is easy. My son's sitting there playing. He's 7 years old, and he's playing Madden, you know, and he's like, oh, he should have got an extra 10 yards. I'm like, son, you don't realize, like, the angles. I mean, he's just playing the game, right? So then we're watching the game, right? And he's like, oh, daddy, he should have did this. He should have did it. He would have been gone. I'm like, son, it ain't that easy. I mean, just because, you know, you might be doing it on a flag football level, it ain't the same when you're playing at, you know, going to a higher level. Like you just mentioned, in George, you know, going to peewee, to high school, to college, to the pros. It's not easy, but you only hope and you wish that some of these guys can get to that level quick enough. But like you did mention, it's rare for a lot of these guys. And I think the thing that confuses people, or not even confuses people, but frustrates people, maybe with a guy like a Ringo, was because he was so highly touted. And we tried to mention early in the year that it was, you know, his top five prospect ranking, according to NFL scouts, was a little bit inflated because of that interception last year. He still had a lot of growth, and I think Kirby even mentioned it, right? I think Kirby said something like, he's only played like a year and a half of ball or something like that. He mentioned that because of being injured.
Still learning. But he has that upside, and he's got that notoriety because go stand by him.
Yeah,
that is a big boy that can run. He is huge. Me and one of my guys from the 49ers, my boy Rand Carthon, who's an executive there. We got up. They were in town playing the Falcons the other day, and so we caught up on Saturday night at the team hotel, just talking about stuff because he went to the Vandy game because he's, you know, when you're a top executive, you cover college, you cover pro, you do it all. So he hit a couple schools while they were on this side of the country. And he said, man, that number five, he said, boy, that's a big old joker right there. And like, he can run. Like, so he's gonna get it right. You know what I mean? He's just still learning. But you want to take that, you know, you want to take that, you know, that frame and all that ability, just how they did Tyson Campbell last year. You know what I mean? You know, he's a big, fast corner that you could teach some things. And, you know, and coming from Georgia, you know, he has a really good base, you know what I mean, a baseline knowledge of the game. You know, he's going to be disciplined. You know what I mean? I was watching, you know, I know I'm rambling, man. I was just watching like some cut-ups on Jordan Davis, man. He's playing that nose like exactly how you want it to be played. Like, it's not no rah-rah stuff. It's not no flash. It's just, boom, he's getting his hand on guys, you know, pushing them back when they need to, redirecting them. He's playing down blocks. Like, he learned that at Georgia. You know what I mean? He learned that during his time there. And so these kids are going to develop, you know, some are just faster than others.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's kind of interesting, is it okay if we switch back to this Tennessee conversation?
Yeah, let's get it.
So, I mean, I've been looking at – we were just talking about this offensive narrative, right? High-powered offense versus not high-powered offense. Like, what is Georgia? And talk – I mean, like, Hendon Hooker is a Heisman candidate right now. Maybe the front runner, depending on who you ask.
He should be.
Yeah, he's a baller.
Yeah, all right. So, I want you to hear some stats, right? Like, I guess – first, let me say with the caveat, a lot of people don't know this, but from an advanced stats standpoint, in college football, play-action passes are usually – about 3-1, 2.5-1 more successful than regular dropbacks across the sport. So I sat down here while we were just sitting here talking and looked at Hooker and Bennett's numbers on play action and on non-play action. So on play action this year, Stetson 73.4% completion, 912 yards passing, 11.5 yards an attempt. Hendon, 71.9% completion, 1,188 yards, 12.4 yards per attempt. So pretty good, pretty even, right? Stetson a little better completion. Hooker, a little better yards attempt. Non-play action, Stetson, 68.9% passing, 1,121 yards, 7.4 yards an attempt. Hooker, 66.7%. completion, 629 yards. That's about a 500-yard difference, 8.4 yards per attempt. Point being, like, this offense that Tennessee runs is designed to basically catch you with your pants around your ankles, to catch your boundary corner looking at the sideline for a call. Like, you know, the screens games that they run are really designed to stress you and out-leverage you and get your guys tired running the 53.5 yards across the field over and over. But, like, we have seen Stetson throughout this season just – make a lot of like big boy throws is really what I'm trying to drive at here. Like, he's made some very strong plays, you know, down the field without the benefit of play action. Like, we've seen Georgia in situations where the offensive line wasn't playing great, the run game wasn't effective enough for play action to really influence the defense the way you wanted to, and he's performed well in those situations. And Hendon Hooker's been damn good too, right? I'm not trying to I'm not bringing any of this up to pull one guy down versus the other. Just point being, like, you know, it's going to be very interesting to watch November. And, you know, Tennessee's rushing defense is a top 30, top 35 unit in college football, but their passing defense is a, you know, well into the hundreds. It's not good. And so, you know, that game, depending on how it plays out, it could, you know, kind of re-spark some of the Stetson hype that there was after Oregon and South Carolina, if he's able to basically kind of continue moving at the clip that he's been moving at. And just, if you're a Georgia fan, you should feel very comfortable with him as your quarterback.
No, man, that's good stuff. Let's be honest. I mean, Heupel, the way he designs his offense, like you mentioned, it's a lot of gadgets, right? It's to get guys off balance, and he's very good at it. He has been, and that's one of the reasons why, even going back to earlier in the year, I said I thought Tennessee was going to be one of the surprise teams that snuck up on some people. They got athletes. He knows how to design plays. I watched them play, you know, earlier against Pittsburgh, and I was interested to see, you know, not like Pittsburgh's just juggernaut defense, but I was interested to see how they measured up. It, on the road in Pittsburgh, you know, not a hostile environment, but it was a lot of people there, and they recovered. I mean, Pitt really should have won that game, but Tennessee, you know, marched back and won that game, which brought me to Georgia. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, if they go to Pittsburgh and they win 34-27, how would they fare against a Georgia team with a much better defense, much better athletes, a hostile environment? You know, I just don't see Tennessee being able to get off like that. I mean, I don't want to get off on that game yet because it's 3 weeks away. But yeah, I mean, it's an offense that is predicated on a lot of gadget stuff, a lot of broken plays. And even if you go back and look at that Alabama game, I mean, heck, everybody and their mama's making memes and GIFs and everything else and videos about what happened to Alabama's defense and blown coverages. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was blown, but it's predicated off that hypo offense and getting you off balance. So, but I don't want to take anything away from Hooker. Heck, he makes the throws, right? But I got to say, I mean, I think all four of us could have probably made a lot of those throws as well, because guys were open by like 10 to 15 yards.
He makes the throws. They score the points. The problem with that type of offense is if you don't get first downs, you're off the ball. You're off the field quick. They luckily. They ran into a Bama team that can't stop anyone. You know what I mean? Right now, which is odd to say about Bama. They ran into a Bama team that can't stop anyone. It's not a fluke that Georgia only gives up 9 points a game. So that's going to come into play versus a team like Tennessee. And the fact that Tennessee also can't stop anyone, that works against them as well. Versus a team like Georgia, who can also score, you know what I mean. So it's, you know, is you're looking at the situation like last year. You know, they had a full complement of receivers last year, same quarterback. They came out, and everyone was like, "Wow!" My best friend was like, "They're gonna have Georgia's number I forgot what he said. He either said like the first quarter, or he gave me a number of drives. Mm-hmm. And I'd be damned if he wasn't spot on. Like, he was like, it's gonna take a few drives. I don't know how many drives he said to get down what he's saying, and then Georgia's gonna take over. And that's exactly what happened. You know what I mean? You gotta get first downs and you gotta get stops. With your defense for that offense to be successful. And they were successful versus Bama because Bama couldn't get any stops. You know what I mean? So,
well, you know, to go with that, though, Bama did start getting stops. So, like, you know, after, like, the second or third drive. But then they kept shooting themselves in the foot.
Exactly. Fumbled
punts, you know, interceptions, fumbles, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, your guy was spot on. Go ahead, Graham.
I think what's interesting, so I mean, we saw last year, right? Like the anecdote for this Tennessee offense is defensive backs who can press cover on the boundary, and kind of, you know, stop some of those quick releases. And then A-gap pressure up the middle, like, for two reasons. One, it's the straightest line to a quarterback, but two, like, Hendon Hooker is a large percentage of Tennessee's rushing yards, and the only time he really hurts you is when you leave those middle lanes open and he steps up in the pocket and goes. You know, if you're forcing him outside of the tackle box, especially with the speed a team like Georgia has at linebacker, he might scramble and pick up 7-8 yards on you, but he's not going to make the, you know, the gut punch play, that 30-yard run or something up into the heart of your defense on third and six. I look at Bama, right, and, like, as good as Will Anderson and Dallas Turner are, they didn't have a ton of success on Saturday. B, for some reason, they were trying to play them, like, inside the tackles in a 3-3-5 at times, which didn't make any sense to me. But what Georgia has an abundance of is defensive tackles who can rush the passer, and that's one of the rarest things to find in football. You've got Alexander, you've got Brinson, you assume you'll have Carter back at that time, right? Like, you've got – and then you've got the linebackers who Dumas Johnson is Georgia's most productive pass rusher so far this year from a, you know, pass rush opportunity to pressure created standpoint. Like, yeah, that dude, if he blitzes up the A-gap about half the time, he's getting pressure on the quarterback. So I say all that to say this, which is, like, I think the recipe that Georgia would come into that game with and will come into that game with is kind of the one that makes that Tennessee offense most uncomfortable. And when you look at what Hyatt did, you know, he played about 85% of his snaps in that game in the slot. And Georgia's, you know, I mean, you worry about Georgia's boundary corners a lot more than you worry about Starks and Smith and Bullard and Tyhee Smith in the slot. Like, you know, those guys are the ones that are usually on those inside receivers. So, long story short, like, the day that Kirby Smart's defense lets the same guy roam free five times over in the back end,
that's crazy.
You know, that'll be the first time it happens.
That's absurd.
He's still running. Hyatt's still running. Come on,
man. There's no, like, your secondary must be extra trash. Like, you must have no other options if you give up five tugs to the same guy.
Yeah, man. I went to go pick up my son from after school care, and Hyatt was still running right past me. I was like, God dang, he's still open. Dude was he's gone. I mean, with the ball in his hand, it's just crazy. And it's funny because I think they got, what is it, Branch? They got him listed as a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. I'm like, I don't know who's really? Doing. Yeah. I don't know who's doing all these evaluations. I mean, I have no idea, but I'm like, man, I got to reach out to some people to find out. Because
Bama's going to always have the high weight speed guys, so that's gonna factor into it.
Branch won guarding him. It was Helms. Helms gave up 3 touchdowns against Hyatt.
Ooh. Yeah, but I think Branch might have had – I think he had 4 PIs, didn't he?
Yeah, Branch had
– Branch he had couldn't. 2.
No, Moore had the pass interference on the end. Branch had a pass breakup, and he gave up a touchdown. It was at the end he gave up a touchdown. Because him and Kool-Aid been their best DBs, sadly.
And he got burned.
Who, McKinstry?
Yeah, he got burned. They all got burned. I mean, they all blown coverages, things like that. But it's going to be interesting, man. I mean, we got a couple weeks before that. Couple weeks to kind of do our own evaluations and look at some things. I mean, I guess we got 3 weeks for that game, but it's going to be interesting over the next few weeks, just see how their development is and how our development is. And as a team, as we continue to, you know, put together a good game plan, it's going to be a lot of fighting, infighting, everything else. But I am going to say this too. Do not sell tickets to Tennessee fans. That's what, you know, that's the whole big thing right now. I mean, as long as Tennessee continues to win and we continue to win, don't get excited and say, hey, I want a good Christmas for the kids and sell your tickets for $3,000, $4,000. If you do, sell them to a UGA person.
I got mine yesterday. I'm in the me and my pops gonna be in the mix.
Nice, nice. Where you sitting at? Where you sitting at?
I think it's gonna be in you know, under the overhang. This time where the red seats are, like so I think there's like 200, like the 200 level or something like that in the club. So me and Pop's gonna be under the,
there you go,
in the club seating. You know what I mean? It'll be good to hang out with Pops.
Nice.
Hang out with Pops. I gotta decide on if I wanna shoot down to Jacksonville too. That's always a good time.
Yeah, man, we got some people we gotta, you know, throw some ish at. You know, we got our roll up boys to throw some stuff at. Silk, yeah. The rest of them boys down there talking all types of smack. You know what? They haven't been talking a lot though.
Yeah, after all the AR-15 nonsense. That's the thing, man. When Florida's not good, you know, it's not as fun, man. You know what I mean? I'm gonna talk smack. Like, I'm with it at all times. So I don't care what we looking like. I'm always gonna talk. I talk. They talk when we had Joe Tereshinski at quarterback. Hudson Mason. I'm talking that talk.
I was at that game, bro.
These Florida cats, man.
I was there when Joe T caught that throwback.
Joe Teeski. but yeah, man, the Florida cats, man, they get kind of quiet, man, when they're not doing so well. You know what I'm saying? I got a few homeboys that, you know, they don't feel so we don't want to say confident in their squad right now, and it's a shame.
Yeah, I don't even know what that feeling is like. I mean, that's a horrible feeling. I mean, when you think about it, you know, you get excited, you know, you got a little recruit coming in here or there, you feel like you got a quarterback, and then all of a sudden everything falls out from underneath you, man. That's a bad feeling, especially for, you know, a strong fan base. You know, they love their team and all, but that's like
one of my homeboys, like, man, y'all gonna beat the dog, y'all gonna stump a mud hole in us in Jacksonville. I'm like, that. Dang, no faith. Like, jeez. Like, I wanna talk that good trash. Give me something to talk about, man.
Yeah, man. I don't think they got no good feels right now, especially. And again, I was on their side. Y'all know I was on their side. I was like, AR-15 gonna help them out. They're gonna be a decent team this year. Man, was I wrong. That's probably the biggest miss I've ever had. Was thinking that he was actually gonna be halfway decent, but. It is what it is, man.
He had and that's the other thing about some of these Tennessee fans. They gave up 450 to that guy.
Right.
they gave up 450 to AR-15.
They gave up 450 to him. And, like, yeah, you scored 52 on Saturday. You also gave up 49. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, and Bryce had what, a career year? a career day?
Yeah. Yeah.
It felt like it.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Well, fellas, we're going to reschedule our guest because we're trying to set up something. He wants to set up something with another recruit. So I'm cool with that. As long as he can set it up and we can do that, I'm all in on it. Because today is a bye week and we're recording on a bye week. But one thing I wanted to kind of hit on. We do have some guys that did commit this past week. We have our boy, Ryan Puglisi. Graham, what's your thoughts on him?
He's got all the physical attributes you could ever want. 6'3", throws a 95-mile-an-hour fastball on the baseball diamond. You know, the very athletic in terms of getting out of the pocket and scrambling around. The thing that impressed me the most on his high school tape is like just all the arm angles and slots he'll throw from. Like, he's very comfortable throwing it down low, releasing up high, like wherever he needs to go. He's accurate. Kind of has like a little Stafford/Zach Wilson vibe in that sense to me. I interviewed him on Sunday. I asked him which quarterback he compared his game to, and he said Josh Allen. And I was like, damn, that's some, you know, like, you're out here saying that, praise, dude, you feel pretty good about yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you look at him, he's not wrong. He's 6'3", he's fast, he's stout. Like, he's a big kid. I saw him on Saturday at the game. Like, he's broad-shouldered. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's, like, I mean, they just jetted him up to the number two quarterback in the country on three behind Dylan Raiola.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that when Georgia had him on campus, you know, they basically had him and Raiola like in their own tier in terms of guys that they evaluated in person. So it's the guy that Todd Monken and Buster Faulkner and Kirby Smart want. So I think that's the guy that you want, you know, if you're a Georgia fan.
Well, I don't know if I mentioned to you guys. Oh, you did?
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I remember that kid when he was like a little toddler. That's crazy now. I'm getting so old. Like he was literally a kid. Like, so we're talking about, so he's got to be 17 now, right? Maybe. If that, he's probably got to be about 17.
Yeah.
I played class
2024.
So I got to the Lions in 06, 07. So that's how many years ago? That's like what? Shit, was he born? my math is terrible right now.
Yeah, I told you. Yeah. See, that's what happens when you play in the 60s. That's the last time the Lions won a championship.
But yeah, so I mean, he was a kiddo. Now he's freaking number one quarterback in the nation.
Yeah, man. I don't know if I mentioned to you guys, but I reached out to my boy Joe Moorhead, who's the coach at Akron now. Was he, you know, the OC over at Penn State, OC over at Oregon? And I said, "What, you know, have you heard about this Ryan kid?" He goes, "You know what? I recruited him as a freshman." He said he's the truth. And Coach Woolley, his Ryan's coach, was on Joe's staff, so that was a natural tie for him to recruit him. Obviously, he knew him. He knew that, you know, knew the coach, knew the kid. Said he's a flat-out baller, man. All he said was "Go Dawgs" when I told him that we were looking at a potential prospect. He said, "Man, look, that kid there, he's the truth." So when he says somebody like Josh Allen, that's a lot of high praise. But I thought Stafford immediately. Go ahead, Joe.
When you stand out like that as a freshman, like, you just know it. Like, my best friend told me about Trevor Lawrence as a freshman. He was like, "This kid is gonna play on Sundays," and he was pretty right. He was a freshman, and my friend was like, because he coached against him, he was like, "Yep, that kid's gonna play on Sundays," and he was number one pick. Like, they like quarterbacks, you could see it pretty early. Like the elite physical talent ones, you can see it pretty early.
Nice. Well, fellas, let's get in. I know we got a bye week, but let's get in some picks. I know Trey, he's been hurting with Prize Picks. I've been hurting on my bets. I'm done. I'm no longer doing it. I don't care. 6 out of 7 losses the last 2 weeks. So screw it.
I had my best week of the year last weekend, man.
Yeah, and you didn't even hit me up with
only
those picks.
Only game I lost was Alabama.
You're stingy. You're stingy with your picks, Graham. You like to wait until the last minute.
I post my picks on Twitter every week.
Yeah, it's the last minute. It's the last minute, bro.
Set your notifications, dog.
No, I was not, man. Maybe I went against them. I don't know.
But Prize Picks is hard, man. That's why I bet like 8 to 10 games a Saturday, like on the spread. But I put in like one Prize Picks thing because it's hard.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give some blood this week, some plasma, and I'm going to take that money and try to flip it and see what happens, bro.
You might as well be going to see the dope man if you're going down to the plasma spot. Facts. Don't be getting down like that.
Facts. That's a college thing, man. You had to go donate that plasma. But hey, man, look. Let's look at this. We got let's look at three games this week. Syracuse, Clemson. Who you got?
The Q's, baby. I'm rolling with the Q's. You know what I mean? I got one of my very best friends is excited right now. He went to Syracuse, PJ Alexander. He played guard and center and played with me in Denver. He's excited about the Q's because we've been giving him hell for the last, I don't know how many years in the group chat because Syracuse been extra trash, but they done turned it around. So I'm happy that he could talk about football again because he had to stay out of the college football conversations for a pretty long time.
Yeah, they've been horrible. Who you got, Graham?
I mean, I like Q's. You know, our friend Jason is on staff at Syracuse from mm-hmm. Dog Central. Mm-hmm. But, man, I think Clemson's gonna probably win that game. You know, I like Syracuse's defense. They got a good run game. But going into Death Valley is tough. I think they're 13.5-point underdogs. I think they have a good shot of covering the 13.5, but I don't like them to win outright. I hope they do. I just don't think they will.
Trey, who you got?
I got to go with my two homies on that because they both support me on my business and they watch and they listen to the podcast every now and then. So, Miles and Kobe, I got y'all. I got Clemson.
I'm going to go with George because when the Q's is in the house, oh, my gosh, that's all I got to
danger.
Say.
Danger!
Yes, baby. I got the Q's going down to Clemson, man. They just got a lot of stuff going on for them. I don't know. They're like a little magic. I don't think they're going undefeated, nothing like that. I don't, you know, but I think they'll have a little hiccup somewhere along the line. But I'm taking Syracuse, but I don't like Clemson. I just don't like what they got going on. Texas, Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
That'd be a good one.
It will be good.
That'd be a good one. That'd be a good one. I'm probably thinking Oklahoma State, too.
Trey.
The fighting Gundies.
The fighting mullets.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
who you got, Trey?
Oh, man. Y'all get me all the teams that I literally got people that support me on.
Hey, man. You gotta go with the support.
I'm gonna go with Texas.
Okay. I like Texas in this game, man. I think Texas is going to get it done. I don't think they're back by any stretch of the imagination, but I just think that, I don't know, everybody's got a hiccup game in that Big 12, and I think this is it for Oklahoma State. I think Texas is going to go up there and actually handle business. Mississippi State, Alabama. Alabama mm-hmm. got to get back on track. Mississippi State trying to keep that thing rolling. Who y'all got?
It's going to be hard to count Nick out 2 weeks in a row. So
back to back like that?
Yeah, I got to take that.
And how they play against Tennessee with that secondary giving up 5 touchdowns. So, my God, Mississippi State, literally all they do is throw the ball. Literally. But Bama is at home, and yeah, I'm going to have to take Bama on the safe side because I don't think Nick going to lose back to back.
Who you got, Graham?
Alabama. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta go Bama too.
I just don't see Nick saving.
I mean, Mississippi State just got beat by Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah. Big Stick Nick ain't having it. Did you see Big Stick Nick having all those convulsions and everything else on the sideline? There ain't no way.
I thought he was about to have a stroke.
Yeah. No way.
Chill out, man. He ain't no spring chicken no more. He got to relax.
I'm telling you, that man, 78 years old?
Hey, man, we got to send Nick some Graham Cole, man. He got to get a nice little gummy, you know, on the sideline, you know what I'm saying? Make him cool out a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what made me think he ain't going to last out of the contract because every year Nick be going even crazy. I think he done broke a headset every game. Might be two.
You need to get one of them Bose contracts or something like that. But yeah, man, that's going to be a big game for Big Stick Nick and also for Mississippi State because Mississippi State, you know, they're trying to get their offense or continue to keep their offense rolling. But I don't see them going into Bama and handling business. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But with that being said, fellas, we'd be remiss not to talk about it before we close the night out. UGA legend, DGD. A College Football Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Charlie Trippi passed away. Anybody have an opportunity to meet him? I mean, I haven't had an opportunity to meet him, but people have been online posting different things or opportunity of meeting the guy. And genuinely nice individual to you know, grace their presence with. What about you, George? You have a chance to meet him?
I'm trying to think. I can't remember. I know he's definitely been around before. You know, I would be very surprised if we hadn't been at any events together or around in the stadium at the same time together. Mm-hmm. But rest in peace to Mr. Charlie Tribby. What number was Tribby? Wasn't he like 60-something at
62.
At running back?
62, wide receiver, quarterback, wide receiver. He did everything.
I mean, with the 62 on, that's nasty.
I think he still holds like some track records at Georgia too. I mean, a lot of people consider him the best all around athlete to ever come through UGA.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could. Okay. I don't doubt it. He's a legend.
Definitely a legend. First round pick, number one pick overall, 1945. By the Arizona Cardinals. So
1943 Rose Bowl champion.
Yeah, man. So many accolades you can continue to go down. It's crazy, right?
Insane. I actually did get to meet him and his son one time. Long time ago, I was a little kid. I was at this tailgate with my parents, and he was there, and Frank Sinkwich, who won the Heisman Trophy in 1942, his Heisman Trophy was – it was sitting in the back of an SUV on top of an igloo cooler. And, like, yeah, this type of shit that just only happens in the South.
I've seen that trophy, but it was in the building.
Right. I got to, you know, they have the program copy and the personal copy. I think that was the personal copy. But, yeah, there's still a picture of me at my parents' house somewhere. Like, I'm, you know, 9, 10 years old, and I'm hitting the Heisman pose with this trophy in the back of this SUV on the cooler. But, Trippy was just a gentleman, you know what I mean? Just a great all-around guy and, you know, one of those guys. He's from Pennsylvania, but came back and spent his life in Athens, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, so you got to give it up. 100 years young. That's a lot of years, man. He's been through a lot, seen a lot. You know, it meant a lot. So RIP to him, and also prayers go out to the family and friends and close loved ones that are mourning his loss. But with that being said, fellas, let's get ready to get up out of here. It's a bye week. We can relax this weekend, take some extra gummies, watch some games, and see Big Stick Nick go crazy again. I guess.
And shout out my boy Joe Scudder.
Who?
Joe Scudder. His name is Joe.
I know who he's talking about.
Joe Scudder. He used to be a rapper, you know, rapped along with Lil Brother on the claim to fame, the song Loving It with my guys Fonte and rapper Big Pooh of Lil Brother. Joe's getting married this weekend. I'm supposed to go up there to North Carolina and see him tie that knot.
Nice. So
shout out to my boy Joe, huge dog fan. Grew up rooting for the Dogs. We was talking the other day. He, you know, his first game was in like '84 with his pops. His pops, you know, passed away, but like that was their thing. Him and his brothers and his pops, we go to Georgia games. The first one was in like '84, and we got together at the Natty last year, and I know it was a great time. So that's my dude. Shout out to him tying that knot this weekend, you know, on the bye week. See, that's a good woman right there.
That's how I know
they're gonna be all right. they gonna be all right.
Good.
You know what I mean? She decided she agreed to a wedding on the bye week during football season. That's a good woman. Rachel is good anyway, though. She's good people. I didn't expect anything less.
All right, folks, let's get out of here. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.